Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Smashbot.
Our masters!
What do these things want, and why are they here?
You still don't get it, do you, boy?
They have recruited the rich and the powerful.
They're running the whole show.
Wake up! They're all about you, all around you.
Hello and welcome to Smirch Pod 3, the podcast that relights the fire of 80s action movies and celebrates the decade where the explosion was king. Why? He was. I'm saying it's a he because I'm thinking women wouldn't explode as much as men. Although
I don't necessarily know we even need to gender explosions.
Do you not think?
No. But then I'm a man of my generation.
Well, you are a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
But this week we'll be talking about a drifter who discovers a pair of sunglasses that allow him to wake up to the fact that aliens have taken over the Earth. No, it's not David Icke the movie. It's John Carpenter's They Live. And joining me to chew some bubblegum is comedian John Luke Roberts, who can be found on Twitter as @JLukeRoberts. A very good welcome to you.
Thank you.
I gave you a blank canvas, as it were, and you came back pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Said, what about They Live?
Yeah, what about They Live? Ooh. Well, I realised I'm not really... The 80s movies I know very well are generally the comedies and the sort of action comedies, I guess.
Yeah.
The kind of fantasy or super, you know, like, I suppose, Ghostbusters or Batman, things like that.
Yeah.
Silly. Not, you wouldn't call them kind of classic straight down the line action movies. I had no idea what that is.
It's a horrible film about a Turkish prison.
Well, that's why I haven't seen it.
I was just trying to think of a light 80s movie.
Oh, I see, and you went for a heart. Yeah, yeah. So but They Live seemed to be, I think, enough of an action movie to go, oh, I could talk about that. Because I love it and it's awful.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. And it's terrible.
Yes. All of the above.
Yeah. Where do we start?
At the beginning.
The beginning.
Yeah.
So there's a character called John Nader, whose name I think is never referenced in the actual film.
No. Where did you pick that up from? Does he say it at one point?
It's written on the back of the Blu-ray box that I have.
I was going to say, I didn't pick up his name at all.
No, nobody calls him his name. And the fact he finds this pair of glasses, which is, of course, the main plot point, but it happens halfway through.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah.
I mean, more than that, yeah.
I basically would just rant about it, but I think I could cover it all in 5 minutes. So I mustn't run onto that. I think the main problem is the film could have been a 10-minute film.
Easily.
Yeah.
It could have been a short student film.
Yeah. And if you cut out the fist fight that happens halfway through.
Good God.
It was quite funny, actually. I'm not sure it's... And that, I can't work out if it's being played to be comic, because every time you think it's finished, it starts up again, until the point when you go, oh, well, this is definitely it. And then it starts up again. And they're two friends punching each other.
Well, he's trying to get him to put on the glasses.
Yeah, put on the glasses. I won't put on the glasses.
It's like when
Don't wake me up.
When you've gone to Specsavers.
Yeah.
And they say, would you like to try on your other pair?
That's,
and you say, no, thank you.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
They start beating you up
for
17 minutes.
Getting Rowdy Roddy Doyle, the 80s wrestler.
Well, they wanted to obviously give him space to show that he's a wrestler.
So they got him punching.
Well, they got him a bit. If you notice the bit where he meets the policeman, he sort of... Tombstone's one of them, doesn't he, or whatever it's called?
Yes.
I'm not a wrestling bloke.
No, nor am I. It's also odd, like he's a construction worker.
Yeah.
That's all we really know about him. But this seems to have given him quite a lot of skills in punching and then later guns.
Is he a construction worker, though? Because did you notice what his job was on the construction site?
Doing things topless?
Yeah, he's topless and he's basically like digging a hole.
Well, that's... his own tools.
What have you got? I've got a shovel. Well, could you just dig a hole?
Well, I mean, to be fair, that does happen on construction sites.
Manually, though?
Well, if you back then, maybe. I don't know.
He was surrounded in diggers that were doing nothing.
Oh, I didn't spot the diggers.
So you see, you do not observe.
No, that's...
You would be terrible.
Like, I'm asleep, basically.
You are asleep. You need to be part of the Matrix, but obviously this is before...
It's before the Matrix.
I want to talk about the alien, once you put on the glasses.
Yes.
I don't understand what it's all for. Hmm? Because all the signs say things like...
I don't know how the movie could explain more slowly what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the signs say obey, marry and reproduce.
Yes.
No independent thought, consume, watch TV, no ideas, which I've noted is obviously something you see on the walls at the BBC these days. Yeah. Satire.
Lovely.
I don't know who that's for, because obviously the aliens are saying that. But only the aliens can see that.
Oh, well, it's subliminal, isn't it?
It's preaching to the converted, though.
But you know, but you are seeing this. It's just you're unconscious of seeing it, and only the glasses can reveal what you're seeing.
Oh, so they're saying that's what the adverts really say?
Yes.
Ah, because the magazines are shit. Did you see that?
He's very bad,
through the magazine. It's just saying, don't have sex. Or, yeah, no, do have sex.
Mundanity's nice.
Yeah. It's like,
ooh, why bother?
It's like flicking through Gardener's World.
It is, yeah. Oh, no. Go on, do what you're told.
You wouldn't get one of those. Right. There's a new magazine launched. It's like called Murder Monthly or something. And it's got Levi Belfield on the cover. And I just thought that's a lovely thing to see on a newsstand.
I don't know who Levi Belfield is.
He's a horrible serial killer.
I think what we're finding is we have none of the same cultural references.
You didn't know about Midnight Express.
I didn't know about Midnight Express.
It's showing that I dwell in the gutter, whereas you...
Aspire to the stars.
You float through the air like a beautiful pony.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I might put that on a poster.
You should change that to your Twitter bio.
Beautiful pony. Do we need to? I feel like we may have baffled anyone just starting to listen to this.
Oh yeah.
Well, because do we not need a plan?
Oh right, yeah. Well, yeah. Basically, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Rowdy Roddy
Piper. I think he's dropped the Rowdy.
He did for the credits, but not on the back of the Blu-ray.
No,
they stuck it back in
because they thought, his name.
And his name.
Mm.
And they also mentioned that he's come. This is brilliant. I don't think that whoever's written the Blu-ray has done it very well.
No.
Because it also says, he's here to chew gum and kick ass. It's not what he says.
He says,
I've come here to chew bubble gum and kick. This is the other thing. Suddenly, he's wisecracky man. He doesn't deliver them well, but throughout the movie, and he's got the like, oh, life's a bitch and she's in heat.
Yeah.
Things like that. But he doesn't say it like that. It's life's a bitch and she's in heat.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, he's not in that accent, but it might as well be. Life's a bitch and she's in heat. I've come to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'd pay good money to have you dub him.
I quite like the idea of doing a whole thing like that.
Could you? Yeah.
The first third of the movie, so it turns up, the first off, you think of Walls, you think there's a wall as the protagonist, which is where the camera's pointed.
Yes.
Then a train goes past, you think, oh, maybe it's the train. Yes. It's not. No. Behind the train, wrestler. And the wrestler's the protagonist. He goes around for the first third of the movie telling everybody what his personality is so that no subtext needs to be used while everyone else tells them what their personality is.
Mm.
Then he finds some glasses. Then his personality turns out to be completely different than the one he was saying, which is basically, I work hard and, you know, I believe in America. Ooh, he's got his eyes opened.
Yeah. It's like he's an InfoWars subscriber.
It does feel rather incel-y, especially the big long fist fight seems to be the radicalization of one young man by another incel.
Because you wouldn't get like two feminists, for example, having a fight for 15 minutes, would you?
It depends on the. Of course, it would be absolutely their right to do it.
Oh, no, I'm saying if you're an incel, this is what you'd think.
Yes. Yeah.
You'd want two red-blooded, steak-eating, duck-shooting, dog-screwing men.
Yeah, who have very... So basically, the clash of ideologies, one of them... Wait. No, hang on. I've just realised. Because at the beginning, Rowdy Roddy Doyle tells his friend...
Not Doyle.
No, is it not Doyle?
No, he's an author.
Let's go. Rowdy Roddy Doyle.
I prefer it.
Yeah, he's Rowdy Roddy Doyle, as he is now called.
Yes.
Meets his friend. He follows him because his friend says, do you want to come and stay with me? And he says nothing. Very rude.
Mm.
Then he follows the friend. Then friend says, look, why I asked you. And he says, well, I want to know where you're going before I join you.
Yeah.
And the friend goes, ah, as if he thinks that's a good way of living. Then they have this big argument when the friend is banging on about how it's not fair and all the jobs have gone and they need to do something soon about it. And Rowdy Roger Dawes going, no, just toe the line and everything will come up all right if you work hard. Then half an hour later, Rowdy Roddy Doyle, has gone nuts and hitting him in the face and going, no, put the glasses on. You need to see this so we can change the world. And the friend who is all about changing the world is there going, no, I don't want to get my family into this.
Yeah.
Well, it's character arc with no intervening bits.
Also, yeah, to go along with your point, Rowdy Roddy Doyle is very much like, I believe in America, keep your head down, do your job.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, he's sneaking around in a church looking at stuff.
Yeah.
None of your business, mate.
Absolutely no. He breaks a wall open to get at a cardboard box.
He does.
And then he doesn't open the box. No. And then he hides. So the box is full, obviously, of the magic glasses, which let you see all the aliens and stuff. And that's, I think, the best thing about the film. Those visuals are fantastic. Like, they're really iconic. Like,
absolutely.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
If the whole movie was as good as those visuals, it'd be a very good movie.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No.
Then, once he's got the glasses, and we're like, oh, they do this, he decides he's going to hide them to find later... in a bin.
Mm-hmm.
In a bin, and this is a plot point later. You think, well, obviously no one's going to clear that bin up because that would be a terrible plot point.
Would someone clear out a bin?
Yeah, he comes back to find they're clearing out the blooming bin.
Unbelievable.
And he has to climb into the trash truck to get out the garbage truck. What do you call them over there?
A garbage truck.
A garbage truck.
Yeah.
He climbs up. Oh, no, well, you've got to go in the bin now to get these out of here and put them on. Oh, what have I done? Oh, you've been silly. Although he doesn't seem to have much introspection.
No.
But it's all very odd. I think you could build a proper hour and a half, three act movie from the material available, reasonably sort of easily.
Yeah.
But something's gone wrong with the screenplay. It's so slow. There's so many like lingering, but they're not lingering beautiful shots.
No.
Just lingering, nothing's still happening. Why is nothing still happening? These aliens also seem to be very, very dim. They're terrible at finding people who are pretty obviously trying to subvert them.
Yes.
So, I mean, in a way, and then they can, and then you just turn off the TV.
Although we do know now, there is a mystery solved in this. We do know now what George R.R. Martin has been doing this whole time.
What's he been doing? Well, he's in it, isn't he? Yeah.
He looks, the man who's in the TV looks very much like him.
He does.
Just write your book, mate. Just finish it. Stop wasting your time with all this.
That's a decent bit. I mean, why don't they... There's this... At the beginning, it's, oh, we can't break through their signal, so why don't we send the glasses out? And then there's one man there. And it's all men.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really entirely sure.
You see a woman later.
Yes, but then... But she's... Oh, I guess you see... There's sort of two later. One is doing the tea and stamping people in.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one who, in a bit of plot... I don't really want to call it intrigue. Well, basically... Rowdy Roddy Doyle.
Yeah.
Kidnaps a woman.
Meg Foster.
Is it?
Evelyn from Masters of the Universe.
Really?
Yeah, the movie.
Oh, not the real one.
Not the real one.
Not the real one. Kidnaps her. I mean, acts really very, very badly. Terrifies her. Doesn't at any point try and calm her down and say, sorry about this. There is a reason that I'm breaking into your house. I'm not about to attack you.
He does say he's tired.
Yeah, that's not
which
really...
Which is fair enough.
I don't know. But you can also, like any sort of... you know, you can imagine the villain in, I guess the only thing I can think of is Silence of the Lambs saying, I'm tired. And go, oh, God, that's scary, saying I'm tired. Scary, isn't it? But apparently it's not meant to be scary. And then she gives nothing away, nothing away. Then she turns out to be part of the revolution. And then, plot twist... She's not.
No, she's working with the aliens.
Yes, and which you could probably presumed early when she said, I work in TV.
Yeah.
Because of the
Cable 54.
Cable 54. Yep. But it is played like it's a twist, because it's 5 minutes from the end. But the way it comes out is very disappointing as twists go.
Yeah. I mean, it's telegraphed, which is quite ironic, considering they're trying to stop a signal.
Yes.
True. Yeah. The aliens look good, though.
The aliens look great.
Yeah.
I mean, I would watch it again. Well, the thing is, it took me, for this rewatch, it took me two goes. I had to stop halfway through and go, okay. And I stopped just before the fist fight, which was lucky, because that's another, it's 15 minutes or something.
It goes on forever. I mean, every time you think, oh, good, it stopped, they start again.
Yeah. We just have talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've done it twice now, but I'm not going to let us do it three times.
So for a film which is very high concept, sort of smart in a conspiracy theory type way, like it's a good idea, quite a sophisticated idea.
Yeah.
It's so like unreconstituted, thumpy, thumpy, bash, 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 you know?
Yeah.
You know, wrestler doesn't really act in this, just walks around quite slowly. Everyone else, sort of similar.
Do you think there's a little nudge to Scientology in this?
Well, this seems to be like very successful Scientology.
Yeah, because there's a bit at the end when they go into the underground facility.
Yes.
And they walk in and it's like a ballroom.
Yeah.
Where they're having this kind of, well done, you're the greatest citizen this month. You win a ham or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that guy who was a tramp is suddenly like this rich man.
Yes. I was thinking, oh, I've seen him earlier. I need to rewatch again. Which one was he?
He was the one who was a tramp. Who was sitting in a sofa and kind of... He used to play a tramp all the time. He was the tramp in Back to the Future.
Oh.
I think he made a living out of playing tramps.
Which is generally looking at something weird happens. You look at the bottle of alcohol in one hand and the sandwich in the other, and you throw the sandwich away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
that. I'm pretty sure he actually does that in Back to the Future.
I think probably, yeah. Well, it's a classic. There's a great take on it in Frog Princess, the Disney one, when they there's somebody in an octopus costume at a fancy dress party with eight glasses of champagne. Uh-huh. Something weird happens, looks at the chef, pours all of them out. It's great.
That's good.
It's a good new take on it.
The classic of the genre, of course, is the guy who does it three times in the Bond films.
Different Bond films?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he does it in The Spy Who Loved Me when the car comes out of the water.
Right.
He does it in Moonraker when he sees the hover gondola go through the square.
Oh.
And he does it in For Your Eyes Only when Bond skis over his lunch.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Is it the same shot?
No, it's just the same. Oh, that's the same actor.
It would have been just wonderful if it had been each time it had cut back to Seaside.
It wouldn't have surprised me during that period of Bond. But it makes me think of Scientology because you've got this aliens being responsible for people becoming financially successful.
39% more a year.
Yeah. And this is what a lot of people are, you know, saying about Scientology, that it's aliens.
Aliens. And once you know enough about it, you've bought in enough to know that you're not meant to tell people. Yeah. So you go, no, it's not.
I thought you boys understood. It's business. That's all it is. You still don't get it, do you, boys? There ain't no countries anymore. No more good guys. They're running the whole show. They own everything, the whole goddamn planet. They can do whatever they want. What's wrong with having it good for a change? Now they're going to let us have it good if we just help them.
Exactly. But Scientology was probably coming quite to prominence more in the late 80s than...
previously.
Before, because I think it had been around since the 60s or 70s anyway.
Well, it was, yes.
Because it was invented by L. Ron Hubbard.
Yes. Yes, good.
Yeah.
And he was a famous
author.
Tax evader.
Tax evading author.
Yes.
Who wrote Battlefield Earth, the wonderful film was made about that.
Who's your most disappointing Scientologist? The person that when you find out they're Scientologist, and, oh.
Oh, the one that springs to mind every time is Jason Lee.
Jason Lee?
Yeah.
Who's Jason Lee?
He was My Name Is Earl.
Oh, yes. Mine's Beck. I was going,
oh,
Beck.
Yeah, I was going to say Beck, yeah.
Do we leave this in or does it get us tracked?
It might get us tracked.
Ooh.
That might be good for you, though. They might approach you after a gig and say, hey, John.
Well, I will say this. I am susceptible. I am susceptible.
I just heard your we just measured your laughs on our trigonometry.
Yeah.
And it's scoring higher than Bruce Forsyth. So maybe you'd like to join our facility. I don't know how they talk. Please,
did you say on our trigonometry?
Our trigonometra. I don't know what that is. I was trying to think of an alien meter.
We've just measured your laughs on our geographer. Hello. What do you say, geographer? I'd like that. If you just went in, instead of holding two little metal tubes, you held two fingers.
Yep.
Of a tweedy professor.
Yes. I like that. We need more professors, not less.
Yeah.
It's like when the election's not going very well and they wheel out that John Custis man.
What?
You know John Custis?
I don't remember.
He's like an election expert.
Oh, does he
he's kind of like the groundhog. He only comes out when there's an election.
Right.
And he, if he says yes or no, we're going to get more years of Tory winter.
Ah.
But yeah, we need more scientists and professors, yeah. Not less. So take note, society.
But also, society, we need more artists and dancers.
Yeah. Good point. Mm. Sorry about that. I forgot about that.
Well, just like more of both.
We need a balance.
We need a balance? Yes.
We need half of one and half of the other, mm-hmm. and in the middle, everybody having a nice time.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
That'd be nice.
You don't get that in They Live.
You don't get that in They Live.
You get those who have it.
Yeah.
Those who don't.
But you can get it if you're willing to play along.
Yeah. But, these people, they've invented these sunglasses where you can see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, they've adapted them into contact lenses.
Yes, to make the continuity of the filming of the last sixth of the movie easier, I think.
Also because the sunglasses apparently would give you major headaches.
But they've worked it out on the contact lenses so that they don't.
They don't. And it saves a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. Also, did you notice that after the fight, which we said we weren't going to talk about again,
when they check into
that hotel in a non-homosexual way, by the way, we have to point that out.
It is desperately homoerotic.
Very much
Every
so.
Shot of the two of them, look at that. I sort of hope if it was made nowadays, they'd go the whole hog, because it's a bit, they're in love.
Mm, I wish I knew how to quit you.
That's it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But when they check into the hotel after their fight, they've got puffy eyes. You know, like swollen faces. Mm. They have a shower and then they're fine. They haven't got swollen eyes and puffy faces anymore.
Well, maybe it probably was flesh-coloured dirt.
You think?
Which had got trapped on their face as if it were puffy, but actually it was just from the bins and stuff they were fighting around.
Mm.
A lot of fighting near bins.
They did fight a lot near bins. But there's some good lines in this.
There are good lines. I was on that fight front.
Yes. We did say we weren't going to talk about it again.
But surely we've got to just keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
When it played originally in the cinemas, were people like,
come
on, there must have been, right?
Yeah,
this
is the height of WWF.
Yeah.
And it was huge. It was, even I liked it. And I'm an idiot.
Well, I'm... Anyway, what's good? The line's good, yes.
Yeah, well, because Rowdy Roddy Doyle is a wrestler, or was a wrestler, because sadly he's dead now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Did he have was his film career successful?
Yeah, he wasn't hugely successful. He did a few films. He did this, and he did a film called Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Oh, no.
Yes,
really?
Yes.
Where was that set?
In a dystopian future run by frogs.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be something really, really sort of xenophobic and anti-French.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, no, no.
No,
no.
These are
classier
like
than that.
Alien frog people
right.
who rule the world, like Planet of the Apes.
Or They Live.
Or They Live. Yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Right, so they're alien frogs, and he, one man with no particular skills or drive, sorts it out.
Sorts it out, yeah. I haven't seen it for a long time, so I'm probably doing it a disservice.
Okay.
I can't remember many other films he did, but this was certainly his biggest one.
Yeah.
So in terms of wrestling movies, mm-hmm. he was probably more successful than Hulk Hogan, because this film's still, while it's not a brilliant film, it's still beloved.
It's a classic.
It is a classic, I think.
It's
probably one of John Carpenter's last good films. And this is when his music is slowly getting bad as well. Because his early films had good music, and he did them all.
I can't remember quite... I don't know off by heart the music this film, but
yeah.
I would like to present what I think it sounds like if I can.
Yeah.
Boom. Dum. Bum. Bum. Ba-dum. Bum. Bum. Ba-dum. Bum. I think that's it.
Yeah. And there's also a bit of keyboard harmonica.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bum. Bum, bum. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Basically it.
Yeah.
But his thing, he's like the Dennis Waterman of movies.
Yes.
Because he does the music as well, as well as everything else. And they used to be standout. They used to be really good.
Mm.
But I think he's getting to this stage where he just can't be asked anymore.
Mm. And maybe he's had to sell most of the keys on the piano. Yeah. Well, I've only got 3 keys left. How am I going to... Oh, no, I'll get through it. I'll get through.
Well, luckily, it's a synthesizer. So I have many more sounds to use with the 3 keys.
That could be the same notes, just different noises. This one will say hello. Hello. Hello.
And this one is hello. Is dogs.
Oh, I really want to see this film. Just rescore.
Yeah, you need to redub him and then rescore it with hello.
Yeah. What are
the occasional?
What are his good lines? He's got one of the all-time classics.
Yes.
I want to. I came here to chew bubblegum and
kick ass.
Kick ass.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Which I was amazed to discover is originated in this film.
Yes. I would like to know whether that is something John Carpenter wrote or if that's something Roddy Doyle, coming from a wrestling background where you have to have catchphrases.
Ah, yeah.
I'm wondering if it's an old wrestling term or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's possible. Yes. There's the, and then what are the other ones? There's the Life's a Bitch and She's in Heat.
Yeah, you get the You're Okay. This one, real fucking ugly.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's when he's suddenly really rude to people because they look like skeletons.
This is what's happened to Ricky Gervais.
Right.
He's put on those sunglasses.
Yes.
And he's realised the whole world's completely pointless.
The problem
is, he's just horrible to everybody.
I'm not going down any form of reasoning which says that Ricky Gervais is a great truth teller or spotter of the real way things are. Ricky Gervais is a normal man in his 50s who's saying all the normal things that white men in their 50s say.
But he's
in exactly the same ways, just in front of thousands of people.
You would say that, but you're not awake. You're still asleep.
I'm still asleep.
You haven't seen what he's seen.
I'm slope, as they say nowadays. You're either woke or you're slope, and I'm sloping.
You're sloping. You're like a fucking ski Sunday, you are.
Yeah.
You've got people going up and down your chute.
Yep. I can't. And they're getting on the little thing to get carried up the slope and dropped right down the slope again.
And all you're doing is snoring.
And you know what?
You're not even noticing.
The sun's coming out.
The Thor's coming.
The Thor's coming.
Not John Thor. He's dead.
Not John Thor. He's dead. And all I'll be is a shallow incline with no snow to entertain. That's how slope I am.
Well, I'm pleased that you're recognising that because you're not like Ricky Gervais.
Thank you.
He's
awake. He's woke.
He's aware.
He's yes.
He's seen the alien faces. Have you?
Yes, but I've decided why not be nice?
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah, I'd rather get on with them.
I'd rather get on with them. They seem to look after their friends.
They're going to give me money.
That's what the point, actually. Why don't they just let everyone know and then say, but, we'll help out.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I mean, a secret halved is a secret shared.
Doubled.
No, the other way around, isn't it?
A secret kept is a secret doubled.
Yeah, but a secret shared.
No, a problem shared is a problem solved.
Yeah, but you could change problem for secret and then it works better in my favour.
A problem swapped is a problem replaced.
Yes. So all you do is you take over and you say to everybody, look, maybe send them all an email. Mm-hmm. Look,
I don't think they have that technology, weirdly.
Fucking aliens. They can teleport.
No, they've not got emails.
Facts, then.
Okay, fax.
Give everyone a fax machine. Get them on side. Mm-hmm. Hey, cool, we've got a fax machine. Yeah, yeah. First fax you get, look, sorry, we couldn't tell you to your faces, but here's a fax. Mm. We're taking over. Go along with us and we'll put 10 grand in your bank account every month. Mm. You know, fight us. We'll kill you.
Yeah.
Or we'll move you to some sort of reprogramming
centre. If they were to introduce a citizen's wage mm-hmm. and just properly redistribute, well, it's basically they'd have to have a different ideology, wouldn't they?
But would they, though?
Well, all they seem to want is an easy life.
Yeah. So why fuck that up?
Yeah.
Fucking Roddy Doyle, the dickhead.
This is what Roddy Doyle should have nipped in and instead of just blowing up the TV...
Yeah.
Pitched it to them.
Exactly.
Elevator pitch, that's it. Get it done in 20 seconds.
What they should have done with this film, really, instead of killing Rowdy Roddy Doyle at the end, they should have set him up to be a crank. Framed him as a crank.
Yeah, so I mean, yes, that's a nice...
So everything he says, no one believes. Yes. That would have been a much more poetic ending.
And well, or even beginning of third act, because yeah. It sort of needs one.
It certainly does, because yeah. They literally fall through a hole in the floor into the third act.
Yes.
They're at that meeting where they get their contact lenses, and it turns out Meg Foster's... we don't know that.
We don't know, no.
There's this great bit where he's about to shoot an alien earlier, and the alien's like, aha, see you later, and he presses his watch.
Oh, yes.
And he teleports.
Yeah.
So they managed to get one of these teleporting watches.
From the tramp?
No, from the black guy at the meeting.
Oh, okay.
He's like, we got these watches, but we don't know how to work them.
Right, okay.
So the baddies, the aliens arrived to kill everyone in the meeting. And Rowdy Roddy Doyle and Keith David, who's brilliant, by the way. Mm. We should talk about that. Yeah. He's very good. He's always very good in things.
What has he been in?
He was in The Thing.
Ah, right.
Yeah, he's in a few John Carpenter things. He voices the president in Rick and Morty.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh.
He does a lot of stuff. Anyway, so they go out into the alleyway and they can't
are some scenes when he seems to be like really heavily like out-acting.
He's the best thing in this by a million miles.
But out-acting him in a way as if he's trying to show him how to do it.
Mm.
He's like, oh, come on, do this.
So they throw the watch down on the floor and a hole opens and they jump through it into the third act.
Completely, I must have looked away from the TV like three times when that happened.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's not how scripts work. You don't just find a hole and jump in it. It's like Jamie and the Magic Torch.
Or Mary Poppins.
Or Mary Poppins.
You do a wink, a double blink, you jump in, aliens. Oh, that'd be awful, wouldn't it?
But not you too.
They all jump through that picture and then they end up in the underground base, but with a space transporter.
Yes.
Which uses gravity to shoot you at a planet.
Yep. How's that going to work at the other end?
Well, it's really messy there.
Is it just like thousands of dead guys and trees?
Well, maybe just big mattresses?
Ooh, yeah.
It's a possibility.
Or nets. Maybe that's why they're putting nets all over the trees here.
But they don't seem to leave time. You know when you go on a water flume?
Yeah.
And you've got to, like, it'll give you a little light to let you know when they've got out of the splash pool at the other end.
Yes, you're right.
There's not enough time for the person who's landed in that net to go, right, I'll get out of the way.
Definitely.
Or someone else is just shot into them from the underground lair.
Oh, the mess. Mm. Must look like a Picasso painting.
Yes.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is The One Show in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is. For us, but for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a program you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Thank you. talking about earlier?
Oh, no, it was anti...
This is not
anti-Macassar.
Yeah, this needs context. And
the context is that I thought that anti-Macassar was pronounced anti-Macassar, and it's not.
I still don't know what it is.
Oh, it's the you put on a chair and it stops you getting oil on your seat.
Like Soul Glow.
What?
Have you seen coming? You don't know any references.
Well, not none kind of your comedian, references.
What kind of a comedian are you? You don't know any references in culture.
May I suggest I'm younger than you think.
How old are you?
33.
Yes, you are younger than I think.
There you go.
You did a whole routine about the Spice Girls, for goodness sake.
Well, they were in the early 90s and they're still around now.
They're old.
Well, but comparatively.
You've not seen Coming to America, no?
I've seen Coming to America.
You've seen the bit where they're all wearing Soul Glow, and when they get up off the sofa, they leave a wet patch.
Oh, well, I guess so, but I've forgotten it.
See, you're never going to make it in this business, I'll tell you that now.
Sounds like a problematic joke, to be honest.
It's all right.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy is not problematic.
I think he's fairly problematic. Oh, if you watch Raw again, you'll find that out.
Yes, it is. That's awful, isn't it?
Oh, gosh.
Still, he's doing Coming to America 2 now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Coming back to America.
I don't know how it's going to work because he is the walking corpse of comedy.
It's awful when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, still the funny stuff to remember.
Oh, yeah.
But then you watch it and it's deeply homophobic and go, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah. Mm. You remember they did the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary and they were like, ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Murphy. And he came out and was like, all right, see you later.
Yeah.
You're not going to do anything funny, Eddie? No. Okay, bye. See you in 40 years.
Bye.
It was like he'd got on some sort of spacecraft and was like anally probed.
Right.
And then came back and was just like never the same. Or maybe, you know, eyes open.
It doesn't always, you know, I think people can just not maybe fall out of rhythm with society or just not lose their general drive to be funny or not be that funny without it necessarily involving aliens anal probing them.
Could happen.
I think it would, if anything, you've got to have a sense of humour after that.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, you would say that though because you're, as we established, not awake.
Yeah, I'm slope.
You're slope. But anyway, so what they need to do is they need to blow up the what is happening, folks, is that the TV station Cable 54 has got a trans. I don't know why I'm doing this with my hands. Sorry.
Wait, no, it's very. I shouldn't. Wait, you, no. He's waving his hands around in a very expressive way.
Like Magnus Pike.
I don't know. Here
we go again. anyway, so the there's a transmitter at the top of the TV station tower.
One transmitter.
Which and it's not even that big.
No, they've really not thought it through.
Looks, did you notice all the guards, all their communication devices were PKE meters from Ghostbusters?
Oh.
So every time they go and talk to him, it's got that thing Egon's using to measure ghosts.
Oh, they're just really...
really cheap.
Yeah.
Really shit. But yeah, the top of the tower, the transmitter looks like a tube of Toblerone. Mm-hmm. And they go up there... Keith David gets shot in the head by Meg Foster.
That's when you find out, wait!
Yes, she was a betrayer. And then she, Roddy Piper shoots her in by way of retribution. Mm. And then shoots the transmitter. And is then gunned down by a helicopter. And the transmitter is broken. The spell is broken. Suddenly everybody in the real world can see these frog people.
It's also, the choice of last shot of the film is sort of so 80s and extraordinary. I can't quite believe they did it. I mean, it's literally the kind of, you've waited this long.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we got boobs for you.
Lovely boobies.
But no, she's just realised she's riding an alien.
Yep.
And credits.
It's funny. I think he says something like, what's the matter, baby?
Yeah, little skeleton head. What's the matter, baby? And it finishes, and then everyone, you go, oh, I don't know how I feel about this.
I waited a long time for that, and I'm not sure I enjoyed that.
No, well, maybe we learn a lesson about maybe it's teaching us a cheap an important lesson about desiring lustful scenes in movies.
Mm.
No, I think he just thought it'd be funny to stick some boobs in at the end.
Yeah, because it's 1988. Was it 88, wasn't it?
Like that.
So, yeah, so you need tits in there. It's part of the, the studio checklist.
Yeah. A lot of man tits.
Yeah. Well, Roddy looks all right, doesn't he?
Well, he's in very good shape, yes.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And Keith.
The only problem with Roddy, I found, was his hair.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah. I know mullets were a thing back then. You have to make exceptions for it. But his one looks particularly egregious, I find.
It'll happen again.
Do you think?
They'll come back. They must.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Because, you know, what? Because time is a wheel.
Yeah.
Trends are a wheel. Because trends are just spokes.
People must have thought, well, these look really good.
Mm.
Didn't they?
I had one.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, I remembered this talking to a friend the other week when I was in about the fourth year at school. We used to have mullets that we'd put into like a rat tail and use elastic bands
right
from school to tie them up. Yeah. And I can't imagine how bad that would have looked. But I had it.
Do you know? I mean, have you got photos?
No.
Well, that's lucky.
God, because we didn't have mobile phones in those days. Otherwise, there probably would be documents.
You can take it on your landline, can't you?
No.
What?
No.
Sorry, I don't understand.
You'd have to get someone to draw it.
Right. Wow.
No. I mean, the only proof I would have of that are the school pictures, but I used to always bunk off on school picture days. I didn't like being in them. Mm.
You could have done that thing where you're at one end and then you run around the back so you get on the other.
Oh.
As they put it over there.
Yes.
That's fun.
That is fun.
I saw some puffins being counted in the Hebrides.
Okay, okay.
It is related. Because I thought, well, how hard is it for them to do this count of the puffins? They all look the same, but they seem to be counting them. And I just thought of one little puffin kept running around the back, so he got counted at the end of a nut, and then running around to get counted again, and then run. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That's good. That's a bit of a sitcom, isn't that?
Yeah. Puffin away.
Puffin away. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
He could also have a smoking problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Dies at the end of the first series. They think, well, they can't do a second. They do.
Yeah.
He's a ghost puffin, and he's haunting the family that's just moved into the puffin's house.
I have got nothing.
No. So haunt me with a puffin.
So haunt
me. Actually, that's what you'd rename it. So haunt me with a puffin.
I'd love them to bring back So Haunt Me, and I'll even take it with a puffin.
What do you mean you'd even take it? It'd be better with a puffin.
Would it?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Would a puffin be better than a dead Jewish lady who was very overtly Jewish?
You know what? They can both be in it.
Yeah.
Little double act. They don't get on.
She could be riding him. Well, not like that. I mean, in terms of like a horse.
Like he's a huge puffin.
Yeah.
Or she's come back as a tiny ghost.
Oh.
We don't know how big ghosts are.
No.
And if you could go, wait, I'll be small and then I get to use a puffin as a steed. You probably would.
I don't know how the writer of So Haunt Me would react to this, though, because I think he was quite happy with as it was so. Well, but then it got cancelled, didn't it? So
maybe they could have saved it with a tiny ghost puffin.
But we've reached the point of the podcast.
Right? Oh, right, yes.
I'm going to ask you some exciting questions, which you probably won't understand.
Okay.
So here we go.
Yes.
So in your opinion, who was the best, Arnie or Sly?
Arnie.
Oi! Good, okay. What's the best action movie of all time? Doesn't have to be 80s, your favourite action movie ever.
The one I would watch the most?
Yeah.
Would be, I suppose, Aliens, probably.
Mm, good choice.
A lot of people get angry about it.
Why?
Because it's not Alien. But I think, isn't it great it's not Alien?
That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Lovely.
Imagine if Alien 2 would have been Alien again, but in a different planet or something.
You'd end up with like Alien 3 or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, which I quite like.
Oh, I know. I've no time for it.
I'd make a bed for that. I mean, I'd die on that hill.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I won't argue it then.
No, I do like it. I think it's refreshing.
I think the setup of the fourth one is actually quite good. It's just unfortunate the fourth one is awful.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, even the director's cut they brought out is worse.
Yeah.
Which usually isn't the case. Oh, no, actually, it's often the case.
But it's easy. It's hard. Now it's very easy to look back fondly on them, thanks to Prometheus and Covenant.
Covenant. I mean, I can make a tiny case for Prometheus. But Covenant, I can't.
I'd make a tiny coffin for it if I could. Yeah.
Yeah. It's called my DVD shelf.
I was so excited about it.
Yeah.
I was so
especially
excited.
When they used the trailer music from Alien for it.
And all the trailing stuff they did was so good and so exciting. So sort of, and then they come out with this philosophically sort of incompetent, boring film full of people who don't make any sense and do stupid things all the time.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. Yeah. It doesn't make sense and they do stupid things. But I do like the idea of, you know, the big squiddy thing at the end getting together with the engineer, and that would have been a more interesting film if that had happened at the beginning.
Sure.
But
yes.
No.
But then the other, actually the very fact of like ruining the space jockey by saying, "Ah, no, it's a big man in a suit."
No.
Mm. You had this beautiful creation, and now you've just it's just big and a bit like glossy.
That's the thing, is like every time you watch Alien, then before that came out, your mind boggled about what that space jockey was and how it got there and all that, and now you're just like, it's just a stupid bloke. Anyway, terrorists are taking over a skyscraper.
What?
Yeah.
Don't break it on a podcast.
Sorry, I'm just
reading. I want to hear this for weeks.
I'm reading the Sky News app.
Oh, no.
You can take three celebrities with you to stop them. Who are you taking up the shard and why?
Right. I've got a bit of a wild approach to this one.
Okay.
I'm going to take Jacob Rees-Mogg, Piers Morgan, mm-hmm. and Kate Hoey.
Right.
On the basis that it's very unlikely we're all going to get out alive.
Yeah.
May as well... You know, rather risk them than...
Yeah, I think it's sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not suggesting they die or anything?
I'm suggesting that they might turn out to be the heroes we needed, and wouldn't that be wonderful, and a great retribution arc?
It'll be a good... No, the arc will be that they'll try and betray you, and then the audience will be on your side when you escape the building and it explodes.
That's also... I'm happy with that arc as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. If you can go back in time and stop someone being born, who is it? Much like Desert Island Discs, I'm giving you Hitler.
Okay, yeah.
So
I think it's Rupert Murdoch. I think it's like clearly Rupert. I mean, there's that wonderful Fry and Laurie sketch about it.
Yes.
But actually, everything leads back to Murdoch.
Mm. A hypothetical fistfight takes place between Rocky Balboa and John Matrix, who's Arnie in Commando.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of people have... I'm confused here.
Right, I assumed it was like the person who invented the dot matrix printer. He used his surname. Well, I'll call it Dot Matrix after my dear departed wife, Dorothy Matrix. Yeah. So
it's Rocky Balboa and Arnold Schwarzenegger, basically.
It's a fist fight.
Yes.
Which one's Arnold Schwarzenegger in?
He's Commando.
Is he?
Yeah.
But what film was he in?
Hey!
Right, so he's distracted by his genitals flapping around a bit much in his
He'd probably quite trousers. Like that, though. I've seen in Red Heat, he's fights someone in just a tiny towel.
Right. Are they in a towel or him?
Both are in these little tiny towels.
Oh, so they're not both in one towel?
No, that would be really awkward.
Well, I think... Well, my assumption is it would be Rocky Balboa, but I don't know why.
Hmm. Good. Okay, I'll go with that. And finally, if you had to make your own 80s action movie, what would it be about and who would be the lead?
It would be about kindness.
Mm.
And the lead would be Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes.
Really? I like it. What are you going to call it?
He's back.
He's back, colon, the kindness story.
Yeah. Oh, don't make me cross.
Oh.
Stop or my grandmother will shoot. No, wait, they did that. I've gone off the Jesus idea.
Oh.
It wouldn't be about kindness and it wouldn't be about Jesus. It would be about, well, I like talking animals in films.
Yeah.
So it would be lots of them.
Yeah.
But they'd fight a lot. My favourite animal is probably dogs,
mm-hmm.
but little silly dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like it to be led by a little silly dog. And he's fighting injustice.
Ian Justice.
Everyone thinks, first third of the movie, you think, that's great, man. Look at this great man, Mr. Justice.
Yeah.
And then you find out his first name's Ian, and it all comes together, and actually, no.
Yeah. And what's the dog called?
Brian.
And who's he voiced by?
He's voiced by Sandy Toksvig.
Sandy Toksvig. That's a beautiful film. And what's it called again?
It's called... Dog Day Morning.
I love that.
Mm.
Dog Day Morning.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, there's
so sorry that we've ended it on that note.
No, it's a brilliant note to end on.
Thank you.
It's never bad finishing on Sandy Toksvig. I don't know why I said that. Sorry. Thank you. Sorry, I feel like I've cheapened this now.
I'm just staring you down.
I know, I'm sorry. But thank you, John Luke Roberts, for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It's been wonderful. Been,
A lot of fun.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.